Today's a very serious, important day. So I'll tell you, there were three Rebbeim who influenced me my whole life. And one of them was my Rebbe, Rebbe Einar Zatzal. He died a few years ago. And then this week, the person who got me into learning changed my whole life. I'm telling you, he changed my whole life from A to Z. From A to Z. So he was Nifter. Well, Leno, he was pretty young. He wasn't an old man. His name is Rabbi Zusha Pelech Zatzal. That was his name. And he was he's known out there. He's known because he was big into kashrus. He was one of the kashrus person. Could be, you know, if you're from Muncie, you know. And he was. And I'll get back to this. He like was good. He was good with like computers and mechanical and like. So like kashrus was like his thing. Like. Let's say a company wants to become kosher. So you have to like know like what do they have to change in their production system and you know what do they have to do to become like kosher and how do you kosher things and everything. Okay, so I want to talk about him a little bit and I want to give background. This is a very, very important day today because this will change the goal is to, you'll see. I have high goals. Okay, in davening, we say Zoreach Stachos. You remember that with that in davening? That's in the bracha, in the end of the first bracha before. It's a very important day today. Okay, we say in davening, Hashem is Zoreach Stachos. What does that mean? It means Hashem plants stachos. Hashem plants righteousnesses. You're going to write this down, this is important. What do you mean he plants righteousnesses? So the Mefarshim on the Siddur say, the Art Scroll Siddur quotes it. Some of the Mefarshim say, when you do something good with your life, Hashem plants it in the ground. And all the good things that come out of what you did go on your scorpion Shemayim. That's what it means. Hashem plants it. What do you mean? And so it's a plant and it's growing and growing. So I'll give you an example. This example is made up. Let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein's grandfather was in fifth grade. And he was short for his age. He wasn't so good in soccer, the big game over there in Europe. And he was feeling a little down. And his fifth grade Rebbe, you know, took him aside and said, you know, I was short also when I was younger. And maybe when you get older. And I gave him a little chizuk. And that little chizuk, Rav Moshe Feinstein's grandfather's fifth grade Rebbe gave him, straightened him out a little. So then, Rav Moshe wouldn't have been Rav Moshe unless his father was the famous Rav David. And Rav David, because of his father, so the Rebbe of Rav Moshe's grandfather had that little thing, he has like, you know, so he gets like 0.005% credit for what Rav Moshe accomplished. But that's a lot. Rav Moshe accomplished almost an infinite amount. You got it? So that Rebbe of the grandfather back in sixth grade, with that little thing that he did to Rav Moshe, how do you know how much? Hashem is like Hashem's the best accountant in the world. The best. Hashem knows exactly what he gave. That's one example. I'll give you another example. YU, I don't know if it's around anymore, it had the Philanthropy Society. And it was the thing that they, okay. And they raised money. They began raising money with the Coca-Cola cans, like way back in the day, you know, the 5 cents you get back.
Still have
it. I don't know if they still have that in YU. So they're the soda, and everyone's drinking soda, and they gathered, they got the money, and it became a big operation, you know, massive, you know, and they raised the money. Okay, good. And they do different things. So there's a guy who went to YU and did well afterwards, and he gave a lot of money to the Philanthropy Society. He gave money. And then they expanded, like they expanded what they do. And one of the things they do was they volunteer and they visit old people in the Heights. When you're old and living alone, so aside from, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, you need companionship. It's a big deal. Just to go talk to someone. All right. And then one of the people that they visited was so impressed, he donated like a shas to the YU based medrash. Well, so what does this mean? So this means anytime a guy in YU uses that shas, so that guy who gave money to the YU Philanthropy Society, his goal was chesed. His goal wasn't Torah. His goal was chesed. He was doing chesed. But since that chesed led to this guy giving svarim, and then they're learning. So now that guy is getting Torah schar. You see what's happening here? This is a big deal. This is a big deal.
It's crazy.
He's getting Torah schar, and Hashem keeps an exact record of this. Oh, now. Now I'm going to tell you a story. This story you'll never forget, and then we'll get to my rent. So here's the story. There was a lawyer. Please bring a chair. There was a lawyer in the Midwest. There's a lawyer in the Midwest, and there was a judge. The judge wasn't religious. The lawyer was from, and the lawyer was trying to mekarev the judge. So he tried things, you know, getting listened to this, threat, didn't work. There's a guy out there, there's a person out there, Rav Chashev, Rav Beryl Weinschlieter. Have you heard of Beryl Wein?
Yeah.
Big Torah scholar, historian, what?
Best Green Bananas.
Best name ever.
Right. Five Green Bananas. He wrote books, history. So you should know, one of the things that made him famous was his tapes, history tapes. Like, he has a nice way of speaking, he has great stories, and he gives you like all of Jewish history. I assume now it's online somewhere. I'm sure there are one. He has history tapes, they're fabulous. And now I made them into books. So this religious lawyer introduced this judge to Rav Wein's history tapes. By the way, I saw the story. I heard the story once from a person, and I saw it in a book, and then I saw it at a wedding. I asked him, so I got this story. It's been verified. And this judge got hooked, and he became more religious. And he was so excited to hear Rabbi Wein talk. He tells stories. He's in Yiddish sometimes. He tells stories. He wanted to meet Rabbi Wein. So, and it was good for Kiruv. See, now the judge wasn't so religious. So the judge had a kosher catered. This is a great story, by the way. The judge had a kosher catered dinner in his home in honor of Rabbi Wein. He flew into this city. Now, when you're a federal judge, you're a clutch of a guy. So he invites his friends. Who are your friends? The police chief, you know, the editor of the newspapers, you know, the big people in the city are your friends. You know, not like the regular people, the big people. You're a judge. So Rabbi Wein is sitting there, and the editor of the newspaper says to Rabbi Wein, "Are you an Orthodox Jew?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Let me tell you a story." So here's the story. This is the story.
Ooh, story of the story.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for the chizuk. Right here. That's very good. That's good. No, I'm serious. It's good. Now, here we go. No, then we'll get back to my story. Okay, listen, guys, this is a great story. There was a woman from Ireland, an Irish immigrant, comes to America, gets off the boat. She ends up in a city in the Midwest. The story is in one of my books now. She doesn't know anything about anything, you know. And she gets a job as a nanny in the home of an Orthodox Jewish family. Not to make money. So she's never seen Jews before. She knows nothing about Judaism. She gets her job in, like, you know, October. Working there a couple of weeks. Then they're going away on vacation in, like, December. A month or two later, and they said, "Look, you know, we're going to be away, so, you know, take the mail." And, you know, when you leave your house, you know, if no one takes in the mail, then the people can see you're not home. And so it's good to have someone in your house. You know, you feel safer. Someone's in your house when you go away, taking the mail, whatever. Okay, good. So they're on vacation. We'll come back. So she checks the calendar, and she sees they're coming back from vacation on December 24th in the evening, Erev Yom Tov. It's Erev Yom Tov Mamish, December 24th. Erev Yom Tov. And nothing's planned. Nothing's being planned for Xmas. And she says, "It's going to be terrible. They're going to come back. They didn't make any plans." She said, I'm taking over. Mm-hmm. Now, they lived in an Orthodox neighborhood. So she went out, she bought a tree, mm-hmm. and put a tree in the living room. Guys, picture your homes. She got the red and green thing, put the lights up there. They have a whole light thing going on. And then it's all planned. And then it's coming. It's in the evening. There's a machlokas. If you turn the lights on, it's shkia, it's ace, or whatever. That's a joke anyway. Hello, Hanukkah, shkia, ace. All right, go wake up anyway. Good. So the machlokas. She puts the lights on, and here, picture your houses in the middle of a very Orthodox neighborhood. Orthodox Jews in the whole street, there's a big Xmas spread, the red, the green, the tree, in their house. So they come home from vacation, and like, so the way he says it is, you know, this can't be our house. Like, you know, check the Waze. They went around again. This is before Waze. This is prehistoric. Anyway, and they come in. The kids are so embarrassed. Like, I mean, they're so embarrassed. Like, what their friends are going to say. It's like, it's the crazy, the worst thing. It's the worst thing, okay? They come into the house. The father calls the nanny into the kitchen and takes out a $100 bill. This is back in the 1950s. That's a lot of money now. That's a huge amount of money back then. And he gives her, says, listen, I'm giving you a bonus. You put in so much effort to make us, he didn't yell at her. Stay calm. Gave her a bonus. So much effort you put in, all this extra work. But, you know, none of this is our religion. You got to take it all down. We don't believe in any of this stuff. Treated her with respect. He didn't yell at her. I mean, imagine what we would have done. The kids were going crazy. Gave $100 bonus. So this editor of the newspaper said to Rabbi Wein, I'm an editor of a newspaper, and for the last 25 years, my newspaper takes a pro-Israel slant because that woman's my mother, and she told me to always treat Jews properly because of what this guy did. He could have yelled at her and screamed at her. And so this is incredible. Now, newspapers have influence. That means hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds, Goyim, Jews, have a more positive angle on Israel. That means more money, you know, voting for senators that are pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, because of one completely private, unknown act of good meetings. One on one. Just only person was the guy and the nanny. And that private act led, can you imagine the scar this guy has? If you have hundreds of thousands of people have a positive view of Israel and giving extra money, supporting, helping out the Jewish state one way or another because of a private act of chesed. You got it? It's an amazing story. That's Zoreya Tzedakos. You got it? That's Zoreya Tzedakos. That guy did a private act of chesed. Woo! His scar is still going on now. And by the way, you never know who you're going to meet. You might be meeting the father of the next, you know, might be the next president, you know. You mean anyone? Okay, now, good. Got it? Now, okay. Now let me talk about our Rebbe. So this is Rabbi Blech. So Rabbi Blech was a Rabbi, it's hard to talk, he was a young man, he was nifter. I'm talking about my Rebbe. Three people influenced me. No. This is high school. So I grew up, you'd say regular, I guess regular, non-orthodox, whatever word you use. My parents were conservative with a small C, old-fashioned. I told you guys that in my neighborhood, the thing that separated you from being like solid modern Orthodox to being very, very modern was leaving the TV on Shabbos for a big game. You know, go to the basement, leave it on without the sound even. You don't touch it. And you go watch a big game. So my parents wouldn't allow that in 1,000 years. That's like, oh. That's where I was holding. So I was religious. I was Orthodox. I wasn't into learning. I didn't like getting in trouble in school, so I listened in school. So, you know, I learned a little in 7th and 8th grade. So this Rabbi Blech, it's hard to say, is Zatzal. He was a rabbi in the yeshiva, local yeshiva high school. He was in the late 20s, and he wasn't married. He had a lot of free time. And he had a learning program in his house Friday night. Friday night learning program. Guys would come over. They'd learn an Amud or Black Gemara. Then they would talk and relax, cake and soda. You'd call it a chill. Back then we called it an oned, you know. But anyway, but it was with learning.
Oh, it's not healthy, though.
And no. Ho. Rugalach and soda in your Rebbe's house Friday night in high school with a little learning is the healthiest thing in the world. I'm telling you, it is the healthiest thing in the world. The carbs, the sugar, the carbs. I know Rav Yoel would have his own. Okay, fine. You guys are serious stuff. And he asked me, why don't you come? Why don't you come? And I began coming once. And there was another thing Friday night that wasn't as religious that I used to go to sometimes. And I was so, I didn't want to miss, so I used to go to both for a while. I used to go to that and then go to that. It was the first time he made learning fun. Learning was enjoyable. We're in his house with the ruglach and the soda and the learning. We learned Masechus Rosh Hashanah. And it was about Kiddush HaChodesh. And he took a lamp was the sun, and a basketball was the earth, and a tennis ball was the moon, and he showed us. And it was incredible. It was relaxed. and it was real learning. It was real learning, and it just it was so enjoyable, and my whole life changed. I said, "Wow, learning can be enjoyable, and I can learn." And we used to ask him all our questions, and I said that I was in 10th grade. When I was in 10th grade, the Ron is long. You know, we learned the Ron sometimes. Long, the Ron's long. I said to him, like, "Did the Birger Rabbanim know the whole Ron?" He goes, "Oh yeah, they know the whole Ron, came out by heart." I said, "That's impossible. How do you know the whole Ron?" That's impossible. As I asked him, he goes, "You learn a lot, Benji, you can learn the whole Ron." That's what he said to me. Now, I didn't, I haven't learned the whole Ron yet. Because Dr. Shem, I actually get to learn the whole Ron.
Amen.
But he wasn't married. So we used to like, we learned a little, then we used to like take out the Washington Jewish Week and go to the like the singles ads in the back. "Rebbe, maybe she's for you, you know, SJF, single Jewish female," like, and he was so relaxed and cool about it. It was like, you know, like, it was our Rebbe. He was cracking up and laughing at us, and so that's what he did. He made learning fun. Then he was cool. He had a lot of free time. He was an older guy, not married. He learned computers on his own, and he learned cars. In other words, he knew. So he was the first guy. You know, instead of having a key, he had like a code for his. Like that was this is back like in the late 70s, early 80s. This is like, you know, that's like a cool thing. They have a code. He knew kashrus. Get into kashrus and like all the technicalities. So I'll tell you what he did for us. This is a high school memory. Listen up. So when a company becomes kosher, so the plant becomes kosher, then they make the labels, you know, they put the OU on it, the labels. So there's like sometimes there's like a month or two that the company has already become kosher, but they haven't switched the labels yet. So if you know the ins and outs of kashrus and you know like the barcode, so it's under hashkacha already, even without the OU. You with me? That could happen sometimes in real life. So there's something called Drake's Cakes. I don't know if they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
Ringdings, devil dogs, yodels. Ringdings, devil dogs, and yodels. Until the early 80s, Drake's Cakes were Triangle K. A Triangle K. In my neighborhood, we didn't use it. Some do. We didn't use it. In my house, in my neighborhood, we didn't use it. So we were OU people. We weren't Triangle K people. Triangle K. So they switched to the OU. And he knew there was that month that it was already under the OU, but it didn't have the stamp yet. He said, "Guys, we can buy it now." And he knew. We were like the first people in the neighborhood to eat, like the eating trade. You know, we were eating the first devil dogs, the first ring things. Like we were like, you know, gorging, you know, 20, and it was unbelievable. That's a cool thing. That's my high school memory. We're going in the store, and it said Triangle K. It wasn't OU yet, but he knew that it was under the OU. You got it? All right. He took us to New York. He rented a van, took us to New York. We went to the Lower East Side. Gus's Pickles. We went to Bernstein's. Bernstein's is the old. Yes, your grandparents. It's the old deli on the Lower East Side. And then to see Rav Moshe, he took us to a shechting house, to New Jersey, to shechting house, a slaughterhouse. I'm telling you, no one ate meat for a while. He took us to a grocery store, and like went through like showed like how to read ingredients like for kashrus. Then he took us. He was very close with Rav Heinemann from Baltimore. Very close with Rav Heinemann Shlita. He's a big posek in Baltimore. In Israel. So he was very close with him. He took us to Israel for a Shabbos. I was there for a Shabbos, and he did all of this, and he just brought us in. He was the only. It's freezing in Silver Spring. He used to put a heater in his sukkah, and invite the guys. Now I never did that, but like you know, that's like to sleep in a sukkah comfortably. You know, is a great thing. Anyway, and he did all this, and so this Friday night class in his house, I'm telling you, there's like 7 or 8 years that starting from 2 years above me to like 4 years below me, that he influenced a huge number of guys. It's an amazing thing. Some of these guys are like learning Reish Kolels and regular Balabatsi, but they're very connected and they're very connected with Torah. And Baruch Hashem, I've accomplished something, and he did it. He had this influence, and it's amazing. His strength was outside the classroom to make the learning can be enjoyable. Being Orthodox, being religious is fun. You can do these things. Let's go to the Lower East Side and meet Rav Moshe, you know, like a road trip. That's like, you know, amazing. And it began in his house, the Friday night shiur in his house.
And he changed a lot of things. So that's the Reyes Stuckos. That's the, whatever I've accomplished at all in learning, teaching, it's because of him. He got me into learning. Again, I used to learn a little in 7th and 8th grade, but he got me into learning. He says, you can do it. You can learn all the Rons. I remember him saying that. We learned Rosh Hashanah. I have it at home somewhere. Maseches Rosh Hashanah. See, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is pre-art scroll. This is like prehistoric. Sitting there learning the Gemara, the Rashi, taking out the lamp. It was very, and then he got married. Then he got married, and he, you know, Baruch Hashem, and as a family. And then he left. Eventually, he left. He went into kashrus. Like he really enjoyed, you know, the Torah technical stuff, like how it all blends together. That's one of his. You know, he was like that's what he enjoyed. So that's right, Blech. So he was one of the three people who had a huge influence. He got me into learning, and he's going to his house Friday night. I'm telling you, what I said before is MS. At your Rebbe's house in high school, with cake and soda and a little learning is very healthy. One more thing, he was very into the Gra. You know these gematrias, the Gra that I say over them. They're all my books, the Shmos gematria, Kama Vazva. So he got us into that. All the Gra stories and the Gra things, and it was like there are people out there, like, you know, the Gra is very. I don't know, one of the things he got us very, very into the Gra, and then he's into mathematics, all this interesting stuff. You know, so that's Rabbi Blech my whole life. So whatever I've accomplished, I'm telling you, he gets a huge amount of the credit. That's the Reyes Stuckos, because he got me into learning. He pulled me out there in 10th grade, and it was all positive. He didn't speak negatively about anything that we were doing. He just said, guys, come learn. Learning's great. Cake, soda, rugelach. Let's go meet Rav Moshe. Let's go see what shechita is. Let's learn about kashrus. Because everything was positive, and he had a huge impact. Again, and mostly outside the classroom. And it was that's very blessed. That's the Reyes Stuckos. You got it? Okay. So our learning today, and in general, everything that we do, whatever I accomplish from him, should be an aliyah for his neshama. Okay. When I got into learning, my goal was to be like him. I wanted to be him. I wanted to be that guy, like, you know, you're in the neighborhood, have guys over Friday night learning. That was like my model. That would have like worked in America. So that's not an end of what happened. But that was like, he was my model. And he had a huge influence. You can't imagine the people just coming to his house Friday night. And it's all Hashgach. Hashem worked it out that he wasn't married. No, he got married very late, like I think in his 30s. Hashem worked it out that he got married late, so he had more available time to that influence, that group in the Kent Mill, Silver Spring, the Yeshiva High School back then, a huge influence that he had on all of us. Okay. So yesterday I spoke about Zereyat Stuckos. Zereyat Stuckos, I want to finish. So Reyes Stuckos means Hashem plants things, and then all the ripple effects go on your scorecard in Shemayim. No, stop. Hello, where's my stop? On your scorecard in Shemayim. So what I was saying was, my Rebbe, Rabbi Blech Zatzal, all the impact he had on people, so he has an amazing score. I watched, he was well known because of kashrus, not because of this. But he was going because of kashrus. But we don't realize those 10 years in chinuch, he changed the whole world. So I'm telling you guys, you want to use your lives in good ways. Some of you might go into chinuch, that's great. And you don't go into chinuch, you have to, don't waste your lives. Use your lives to build things. So for example, you're in a shul, and the rabbi of the shul gives a shiur once a week. So you go to the shiur. Because that builds a neighborhood. If you have a shul of 400 people, and the rabbi gives a shiur and 8 guys go, that's like a nebuch. That's a nebuch. But if 30 guys go, whoa, that's the place to be. So you're building. And people don't realize how important it is. Or, some of you guys, you might be that guy that you give the mishnayis shiur in your shul. You start a mishnayis club in your shul. You can do it. You start a mishnayis club, you give it twice a week. In my shul, it's every night. It's a stark shul. There's a Mishnayis club. There's a guy in my neighborhood. He's a computer guy. He's changed the whole world. He started a Mishnayis club in my neighborhood for the kids, like 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. He did the hard stuff. He did Zroim.
Kachim and Taurus. That's what he learned. Not that, because the other stuff they do in school. And he did the hard stuff. And a lot of guys began finishing Shas Mishnayos at their bar mitzvah because of him. Because he helped them do it. And then, this is amazing, he did it for like 4 or 5 years. Then he started a Daf Yomi Shir for 8th grade boys. But before he started the Daf Yomi Shir, he found a guy to take over the Mishnayos Shir. So now there were 2 shears in the shul, in the schus of this guy. He's a regular computer guy. He's not a rav, and changing the whole world. So it's an amazing thing. Or let's say you go to a shul. You ask the rabbi, "What can I do for the shul?" You ask him, "What can I do?" Things you want to be building things. Some people out there, they spend all their time like building things that are not significant.
Like the World Fair.
Not bad, not bad. He said the World Fair. Okay, not bad. So, like in my shul, and he's one of the biggest builders of the shul, and he spends a lot of time in that. So it's a good thing. So Zoreat Stakos means that this Rabbi Blech, Zatzal, he has such an impact because the people that he impacted on, some of them are Rosh Kolels, some of them are Mechanchim. And so many of them, they're more into Torah and Avodas Hashem and learning, or more into Avodas Hashem because of him in his 10 years of chinuch outside the classroom. Okay, so that's a big deal. Okay.